Says, next week's parasha talks about Yaakov and Esau. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think you missed me, but I know that I missed you. In any event, it says that in this week's parasha we talk about Yaakov and Esau. You know, Yaakov is our grandfather, and Esau is in many ways our enemy. So it's important to learn about Yaakov, what to be, and Esav, what not to be. Everything we learn in the Torah is to teach us a lesson. And today, b'siyata d'shmaya, we'll learn a little bit about being more like Yaakov and a little bit less like Esav. So when they were born, it says that the first one came out, Vayetzer Rishon Admoni Kulo Kaderet Se'ar. The first one came out Admoni, he was red, and he was filled with hair. Rashi says he was so hairy, like you buy a new garment with wool, like a wool garment, and it's filled with wool. So that was Esav. Esav was a hairy, today they'd say a hairy dude. You know, in Israel, a dude is when you heat water up in. So if you have a cool dude, then you're not going to be taking a hot shower, because the dude is what heats up the water. So you can't have a cool dude, you have to have a hot dude. Anyway, it says, Vayigru Shmo Esav, and they called his name Esav. Who's they? Who's they? So Rashi already notes this, and he says, I like everyone's offering answers. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'll tell you Rashi. Rashi says, everybody called him this. Everybody. Why? Because he was already complete. Shaya Nasa Benigmar Bisaro Kiben Shani Marbe. He had lots of hair. He was a hairy guy. And when he got very angry, he had a hairy. He got angry a lot. Thank you, my mom, for getting that. So he's called Esav. He's Asui. Esav, his name is Esav. In Hebrew, in English, they call him Esau. But it's important that we know that his name is Esav, because Esav means Asui. What does Asui mean? Done. Complete. He's already done. He came out. How does a baby normally come out? Nice, smooth, clean. And Esav came out hairy. The Targum Yonasan, which is on the side of your Mekoros Gedolos Chumash, it's Aramaic, he says, V'digna v'shinin v'kachin. He had a beard, and he had teeth. He had teeth. I was wondering what that means about nursing him. Has anyone here ever nursed a child with teeth? No. By show of hands, nobody here has done that. But the Chazon Ish in a Sefer Emunah Bitachon talks about one of the miracles of creation. He says that children aren't born with teeth. Because if children would be born with teeth, then it would be painful for every mother to nurse her child. And he also says, another miracle, now that we're on the topic of teeth, nursing, and babies, is that every child is born knowing how to eat. We don't have to teach him. We have to teach him how to talk, and we have to teach him how to walk. But eat, he knows how to do right from the get-go. Let's say a child wouldn't know how to eat from the outset. So mankind, the history of mankind would be very, very short. You know, all of mankind in one chapter. And the first baby was born and died, and that would sort of be the end of it. So b'siyata d'shmaya, we were all born, and right away we're going like this. And we ate. If they stuck, when I was a kid, they used to use bottles. They told the mothers to use bottles. Today they tell them to nurse. It's healthier. But I think it was the malnutrition that makes me so skinny to this day. In any event, my mother would give me my bottle, and I would already start eating. I'd suck the bottle, and I think that's when I got addicted to the bottle, actually. So I would suck the bottle, and I knew how to eat. So Baruch Hashem. So we're up to Esav. Esav had a beard and he had teeth. Can you imagine a baby born with a beard?
That's cute.
That's cute, Shlomo says. Shlomo's going to write a song about that. And he had a beard. So, when it says that Esav is made, any name in the Torah is an essence. Esav, in his essence, is Asui. He's complete. Just like his body is complete. His soul is also complete. He doesn't need anything. He is the perfect gentleman. So he's Asui. Then we have another brother. His name is Yaakov. Why Yaakov? So it says V'yado ochezes. It says V'akach yotzeacha V'yikru shmo Yaakov. Why Yaakov? So Rashi says, it doesn't say V'yikru'u. It says V'yikra. Not V'yikru'u, V'yikra. So V'yikru'u is plural. So about Esav it says V'yikru'u, they called. So for that you have to read Rashi. By the way, sweetest friends, if you want some good advice, I'm going to give it to you now. And I'm going to give it to you free of charge, because I don't really want your money. I just want to be your friend. But if you go open the Chumash, and you read slowly, read a pasuk, and spend 5 minutes thinking about it, you will come up with numerous insights into almost every pasuk. And then afterwards, look at Rashi, and you'll see that very often you ask Rashi's question, and try to come up with your own answers, and you look at the other commentators, just read it slowly and carefully. That applies to every Jewish text. A Gemara, a Mishnah, a pasuk. So here, you read the text slowly, you see, Vayikru'u, plural. That's them. So what's them? So Rashi answered, everybody called him because he's made. Vayikra, singular. So we have to contrast the two. Vayikra, Shemo Yaakov. So Rashi says two possibilities. Either because God called him that, or his father called him that because he grabbed his brother's ankle. Now it's interesting. What part of the body is the ankle? The bottom, the lowest. So in other words, how does Yaakov, if Esav looked at himself as being complete, how does Yaakov look at himself? He's the bottom of the foot. That's like the lowest part of a person. And the Sfarim say the Yud, a Yud in Jewish thought, is always a complete unit. That's why there are 10 Sfiros, and 10 people in a minyan, and in Pirkei Avos says 10 miracles, in the Beis HaMikdash, and 10 Dibros, the 10 commandments, and God created the world 10 ounces. 10 is like a complete unit. So Yaakov Avinu, was he started with the Akev, that's the way he viewed himself, and then he tried to complete himself, and Yud makes it future. The Yud at the beginning of the word, like Yihyeh, and Yaaseh. So that's what his job was in life, to try to make himself a complete unit, but he wasn't, right now he's nothing. Right now he's Akev, and he's going to try to raise himself from that, from the Akev all the way up, and make himself into a complete person. So now we have Esav being the already complete. Again, it's talking about not only physically, but spiritually, because we don't really care what Esav looks like. Why do we care what Esav looks like? Because the Torah tells us why. Why does the Torah tell us? Because that was his essence. Esav was complete, and that's important for us to know. And Yaakov was just starting. He was Akev. He was just grabbing onto the soul. Has anybody in this room ever learned an entire Masechta? No. Even we have two tzaddikim standing by the door who learned Shas probably 10 times. And neither of them ever learned Daf Aleph. Of even first Masechta. Ask them after the shir. Ask those two guys if they ever learned Daf Aleph of Masechta's Brachos. Never once? There is no Daf Aleph, I hear somebody saying. But that's exactly the point. We start on Daf Beis. The tzaddikim say to tell you that no matter how much you learn, you didn't even start. You learn the whole Bava Basra, 175 pages. And you have Rashbams that go on and on and on and on as long as the exile. And you haven't even gotten to Daf Aleph. And you think you're accomplished. But that's Yaakov. That's Akim. Anyway, we continue. It says they got older. And Esav was an Ishyodeh at Sayyid Ishadeh. So it says that until now, nobody really knew. They were in the same school. And they both wore the same clothing. And every, you know, they were like twins. And this is, Nikki, and this is Ricky, and they're twins, and they're really cute. And nobody could tell. But when they were 13, their paths diverged. Yaakov stayed in the yeshiva, and Esav, once he graduated elementary school, he went off to be an Ish Yodeh at Sayyid Ishadeh. Interesting, I think it's the Ibn Ezra. He says, what's a hunter? A hunter, by nature, is a sneaky person. Because he has to trick the animals when he hunts them. That's the way he captures them. So that's the Ish Yodeh at Sayyid. So the Targum says, what does it mean he's a man? Again, Sayyid is hunting. What does it mean he's a man who knows hunting? So the Targum, the Aramaic translation of the Chumash, is a person in the robe whose doctorate is in Unkelus. He wrote a whole doctorate, meaning he studied for years, and he's going to put out one day a very, very big book. I always ask him how it's coming along, but he's been working at it now for much of the last 17 or 18 decades. So I think eventually, it's a long time, I'm just exaggerating, sometimes I invoke hyperbole. Hyperbole? What does that mean? So anyway, so he's writing his doctorate on Unkelus, If you ever read Oculus, you'll become a very wise man. They actually have, if you want to do Shnai Mekar Bechatai, you can do it Rashi with Oculus. A, you'll learn Aramaic. And B, they have a commentary for Oculus. You can buy a Chumash that translates all the hard Aramaic words of Oculus into Hebrew. And Oculus is a commentator. He is a translation of the Chumash. But he doesn't always, it's not a literal translation. He teaches you the way you learn the Pasuk. So how does he learn this Pasuk, the Targum? V'ahava esav gvar nachshir chan. What is nachshir chan? He was a batlan. He was an isadat. He liked to hang out in the field. He was a guy who wasted time. What is Yaakov? Yaakov is an ishtam yoshev ohalim. What does it mean, ishtam yoshev ohalim? So, first of all, yoshev ohalim, then ishtam. So, what is an ohel? An ohel is a tent. What does a tent refer to? Like we say in the song, when our arms are locked, the lights are out, and we're swaying back and forth with each other, and feeling very spiritual, we say, Matomu ohalecha Yaakov mishkinosecha Yisrael. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob! So, sometimes I think my name is JPS. And then I ask Reb Nemetzel if I'm allowed to be alive. Don't confess me. We ask Reb Nemetzel, are we allowed to read that translation? As if Reb Nemetzel sits and reads JPS translation of the Tanakh. Anyway, so, how good, a tent, what's a tent? How good are your tents, Yaakov? What's a tent? A Beis Medrash. The Sfarim say, why is a Beis Medrash called a tent? Isn't that interesting that would be called a tent? This doesn't look like a tent. Would you go to a yeshiva that said, oh, we have a beautiful tent. It gets very cold in the winter, very hot in the summer, not much room, but we have a great tent. Where are you going? I'm going to the tuf. Today we say I'm going to the base. I'm going to the tuf. Like, why is it called a tent? Because a tent, some Sfarim say, a tent is only temporary. You're not in a tent forever. So a person who's in the Beis Medrash, a person who's learning, knows he's only here temporarily. That's the way we look at life. We realize we're only here on a temporary visa, and we're preparing for a much greater world. In any event, Yaakov Avinu didn't just sit in a tent. He sat in two tents. What does it mean he sat in two tents? I'll tell you what it means. It means in the morning, he spent morning Seder in the Tivarye, and in the afternoon, he went to Yeshiva Hakota, he went to Eishet Torah. In the afternoon, he went to Eishet Torah or any other yeshiva in the Rova. He went to Midrashet Arova, whatever it was. Yeshiva Kotel, Midrashet Arova, any place. He didn't just want to get from the Rabbeim here. He walked around the yeshiva here. He got from all the Rabbeim. And then he went to another yeshiva and he got from the Rabbeim in that yeshiva also. That's what it means, Yoshev, Olin. One Olin, two tents. So Rashi says, there were two rabbis. One's name was Shane, and one's name was Aver. So he learned in the tents of Shem and Eber. Why is it enough just learning in the tent? I'm in Shem's Shir. What's bad in being in Shem ben Noach? You're in Shem's Shir. I'm saying he's the first Magid Shir in world history. It's terrific to be in Shem's Shir. Wow. So what's the answer? The answer is it's nice to be in Shem's Shir, but I also want to be in Eber's Shir. Do you know any guy like that in the yeshiva? That he works at every morning. He goes to two morning shears. I don't know, maybe they're all at the same time. Maybe you can't do that. But we had a guy like that in yeshiva a few years ago. He always liked to be in one shir, and his iPod was always in another shir. So this way, he got to be in two shirs at one time. Why would somebody do something like that? Because he loves Torah. You know, if I heard that somebody was giving a lecture here, and what stocks to invest my money in, and I trusted that the person knew what he was talking about, and somebody else was giving a lecture where I should buy real estate, so I would want to be at both lectures because I would want to make probably as much money as possible if I cared. Yes? So assuming for a moment, as unrealistic as it is, that I do care about these things, so I would have an iPod, assuming I know how to use an iPod, which of course I don't. I have an iPod in one, or it's a strawberry, those strawberry machines? A strawberry in one room, and a blackberry. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be politically correct here, I don't want to say so I put my blackberry in one room, and I go to the other shear. Why? Because I want to know. So same thing, Olim, he wanted to be in two tents. So that's Yaakov. Why would a person do that? Because he realizes there's so much for him to learn. What, I'm only learning in this guy's shir. I want to learn in the other guy's shir also. So he went to Shem and Aver. So again, we're beginning to see a pattern forming here. Esav is all done. He's finished. He doesn't even have to go to yeshiva. He's cool. And Yaakov is just starting. He's at the beginning. He's at the Akev. He goes to Shem. He goes to Aver. It's interesting. Rashi, the Targum says, the Aramaic translation says, what is Ishtam? So he says, Gevar Shlim. On the other hand, he also says that Haba Tava Upan, Tava Upan. It says, Umisham, this is Yonasan Ben Uziel, which is one of the Targums. There's Unkelus on the page and Yonasan Ben Uziel. That he served Umishamish Vivek's in Russia to Aver, Tava Upan Min Kedam Hashem. So he was when he served in the base medrash of Eber, and he was tava upan. Tava upan means that he demanded to learn. He was looking to learn. So that's what it means that he was that Yaakov was an ishtam yoshev olim tava upan. He demanded. That's actually the word base medrash. You ever think of what the word base medrash means? You know what the word lidrosh means in Hebrew? Lidrosh means to demand. That's what it means. To demand. To seek out. A beis medrash is a place where we're seeking out. We even have it in this week's parasha. Vatelech about Rivka. Vatelech l'droshes Hashem. So she went to seek out Hashem. And that's what Yaakov was. Yaakov was a seeker. By the way, that's incidentally why Sfarim say, a famous kasha, it says that when they went by a shul, Yaakov kicked out. And when they went by a church, by an Avodah Zarah house, Esav kicked out. And Rivka didn't know what was going on, so she went. The Droshet Hashem, to seek out God, to know what's going on over here. So the question is, why was Yaakov kicking? It says in Chazal that an angel teaches you the entire Torah. So why did he have to kick out when they got to a Beis Medrash, when they got to a shul, if he's learning with the Malach, when the Malach is his Rebbe? There are a number of answers. One answer is, one of the Mepharshim says very simply, Esau was very hairy, so Yaakov was going like this the whole time. That's what he says, Pashim Shad is. You know why Yaakov was kicking out? Because he was next to a hairy guy. That's what one of the commentators says.
Why
Dafka
by a Beis Medrash?
Why Dafka by a Beis Medrash? I don't know.
Who says this?
Maybe it's the Abarbanel. One of you can look in the... I think it may be the Abarbanel. I don't know. You have to see it inside. I heard it quoted once. What?
You better run to the guy.
No. Rivka wanted to know what was going on. But the question is, why was he kicking if he's learning with the Malach? And the answer is because he was just very uncomfortable. So that's what. Other people say that it's very nice when the Malach is your Rebbe, but who is Yaakov's Chavrusa? Esav. So he wanted out. That's another case. He didn't want. If you're, it's nice to have a Malach as a Rebbe, but if your Chavrusa is Esav, you want out. And another idea I heard is that it's nice to be taught by the Malach, but you can't compare that to being in a base medrash. A base medrash is a completely different atmosphere than being in your mother's womb. First of all, it's a lot lighter. Very dark in there. Anyway, no, but it says in Chazal that there's a light, there's a candle there. But the candle's not literal. What? You guys don't remember. I'm older than you, I remember. Anyway, so Tava Upan. Tava Upan means he seeked out learning. Yaakov was always trying to learn more and more. On the other hand, it says, Ishtam, says the Targum, Gvar Shlim. What does it mean, Gvar Shlim? A complete person. So is he a complete person? Or is he always seeking out more? What's the obvious answer? They're both true. They're both right. He was complete on his level. He reached the level of Shlemus, whatever his level was. And then he wanted to go to a higher level. Is there ever a time in a person's life where you can say, no, I've reached absolute perfection? You can, but then your name would have to be God. And then they'd lock you up in an insane asylum for saying that you're God. So it wouldn't work. So what did it emerge then? That you can always get better. You can always improve. You can always grow. So that's a human being. So on one hand, you can be a Gvar Shlim, where you're holding now, you're perfect. On your level, you're Shalem, you're perfect, you're complete. But still, Batava Upan, now you want to raise yourself, elevate yourself to another level. What does it say about Yaakov? It says, Ishtam, so Rashi says, Kilibo came Piv. Rashi explains that his time, his completeness, was that he said what was in his heart. What is it? What was Esav? Esav was Ishio Day at Sayid. So Rashi says, Sayid means to hunt. He knew how to hunt his father down. Why? What did he do? He said to his father, he tried to show his father how firm he is. He said, how do you take miser off salt? How do you take miser off straw? And everybody knows that you don't have to tithe, you don't have to separate miser, tithe, what you give to the Kohen. You don't take off straw or off salt. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, by the way, is a good question on this Rashi. Because what was Esav trying to prove? Esav was trying to prove how firm he is. So he asked his father, how do you tithe, how do you take miser off straw and salt? To show his father how religious he is. Look, even though this is something that you know other people would say, you don't have to take miser off, I'm asking you how to do it. Not do you have to do it, but how do you do it? As if he knows that you do have to take miser. And he just wants to know how. So he's trying to prove to his father how religious he is. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, that's not proving how religious he is, that's proving how ignorant he is. His father's going to think, what an amount I have of a son. He thinks that you take miser off maim and off salt and straw. So if you look at the Nesichas of Lubavitcher Rebbe, he has a whole long mahalach to explain these questions. In any event, so Esav is tzayid, he's bepeh. What is bepeh? Bepeh means that there was some level where Esav really wanted shleimus. Now, Rav Dessler explains that there's sometimes a person has his orus, he's aroused to Kedusha, but it only remains in his mouth. Or the Sfasemis says. Sfasemis says that Esav was holy. Where he's holy in his head. Where do you see that? How do we know he's holy in his head? Because his head is in the Sefer. Chazal say his head went to Maaseh Machpelah. What about the rest of his body? It didn't follow along. So that doesn't help us. We don't just want a holy head. We want a person to be holy all through and through. So that's Esav. Esav in the mouth, he said holy things. He said it in Yiddish, just to prove to his father how religious he is. In Yiddish, he said, Tate, Tate, via zoi, meisit men, zalps and straw. I say straw in Yiddish. How do you take meisit of salt and straw? That was Esav. What was Yaakov? Yaakov, whatever he said in his mouth was in his heart. What does it mean, whatever he said in his mouth was in his heart? What does it mean, Tom? You know what a Tom is? What's that, an elevator man named Tom? But I think that was short for Thomas. Do you know what a Tom is? A Tom is somebody who davens. He davens every night. And he says the following. He says, we always do this together. We do this as a group. We have a group prayer service, nightly. And we say it like this. We say, Ki heim chayenu. Where's Rabbi Eitan when I need him? V'yorech yameinu. They are our lives and the length of our days. All we do all day is learn. It's my life. So I'm looking at Menachem. He's thinking, of course it's my life. I can't live without it. Well, otherwise I'd be in downtown Manhattan right now trying to, you know, be Makar of people. But Torah is my life. There was what to be Makar of down there. I have my life. Now I'm looking at Simcha. And he's thinking, of course Gehem Chayenu. Why did I come back? But can every person in this room, myself included, say that we really believe that? That Torah is my life? It's the length of my days. Ubrahim, Yom HaMalai, what I think about is Torah. I'm sitting on the bus, and I think about Torah. I'm walking down the street, and I'm thinking about Torah. I sit down at the table during the meal. I don't eat lunch in the yeshiva. But I'm assuming that at lunch in the yeshiva, a lot of guys are reviewing, you know, the shiur that they heard that morning. But I'm also assuming there's some guys who aren't. I'm assuming. Eitan is smiling at me, because once he was at the table, and he heard two guys who were discussing the World Series. It happened, and they weren't reviewing Shear that day, because they figured Shear we're going to have tomorrow. But the World Series is, you know, that's over. We have to get that down now. So who do the Yankees beat, anyway? I was thinking about that today. The Phillies. Is Mike Schmidt still playing? He's a third. I'm saying that he's probably the best third baseman ever. He's not playing anymore. That's why they lost. In any event, they should get Schmidt out of retirement. Push it to get Schmidt out of retirement. So I used to want to be a general manager, but I was told to keep my day job. In any event, and I'm like, I don't have a day job. The Ishtah. Oh. So again, we have Yaakov is an Ishtah. Oh. So Tam. Tam means you say what you mean and you mean what you say. And if you say it has to be real. It has to be real when you daven. What are you saying, davening? You say it like this. So every day you say this. You say, I know you say it, because you do it. Pretend you're taking off your tefillin, then you'll know what I'm talking about. Alkein, nekad elecha Hashem alkein. Lilos meheir of a seferis yuzel. You say, Rabbanu Shalom. All I want to see is that you're the king of the world. Lahavir gilulim in ha'ayetz. There should be no more idols on earth. Ve'alim korsi grace. L'sakein olam ema. I just want to make a tikkun. I want to fix the whole world. If we really meant it, you know we'd all do after davening? We'd all like make a beeline to Moriah. We get a big nach, a big nach kibba. Oh, the other day I walked by, you know, by my house, they opened up this new Nachman thing. I'm not going to Uman. I'm just going to hang out with those guys. They dance and they sing and they're labor dick. And you can do whatever you want there. And they're just very receptive. They're accepting. They're accepting of all types of people. So in any event, I was. So if you're ever there, you're walking by and you want to dance and you feel bad, you feel uncomfortable doing it on your own, just call me up by my apartment. A lot of the guys have my phone number. I'll come right down and we'll dance the three of us. I've seen the knock knock dance, so I know how to do it. In any event, we would go to get a knock, and we would tell the whole world, we'd go around handing out booklets. We'd be putting tefillin on people. You know, we'd go to Bangladesh. You know what I mean? With a little picture of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and two pairs of tefillin, one for me and one for, you know, one for the Israeli tourists. And we'd be kind of the world. Every day we say in davening, God, I want to see Tikkun Olam and Malchus Shaddai. That's what we say. Every day we say in davening, listen, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. Anyone here in love? Really in love? Every day in davening we say like this. V'o'avto eis Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol modecha. We serenade God and we say, God, I love you with all my heart. With all my heart, my entire heart is just for you. With all my soul. You know, God, I'm willing to die for you. I'd be willing to die for you. You know, getting up for minyan this morning, I wasn't willing to do. But to die for you, or Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to die for you. If it ever happened, I'm the first guy. I'm jumping in. With all my money. God, all the money you give me, this, it's all for you. I forget about money. Forget about money. Money's not where it's at. We're modern guys. This is for you, God. We take out our credit card in the middle of davening. We say, B'chol Me'otecha. B'chol Me'otecha, everything. I'll give you my Visa, my MasterCard. I love you with everything. I'm going to put it on my heart, God, because I love you so much. And I'm going to teach it to my children, and I'm going to speak about it. What am I going to speak about? Your Torah and my love for you and all the good stuff. When I'm at home, I'm not going to have a TV. You know, I told you the story about the woman in the TV. She goes to a makubel. And she was having problems. And she says, I'm having problems, please help me. He said, describe to me what your house looks like. And she says, well, you walk in, they have like a corridor, and then when you make a left, you know, there we have the big living room, and we have a couch, and we have a coffee table, and we have a Sefer Torah, and we have a television, and we have a bookshelf. So the rabbi said, whoa, wait a second, Tio Koch, wait a second. A Sefer Torah next to a television? They can't be together. She's like, Rabbi, you're right. And she went home and she got rid of the Sefer Torah. It reminds me of the guy who went to the rabbi and he said he can't come to Kol Nidre because the World Series game. So the rabbi's like, a World Series game? That's not a problem. If Godzilla serves Kol Nidre at the same time, you can just tape it. You can tape it and watch it later. She's like, Rabbi, that's the best idea in the world. So he taped Kol Nidre and he stayed home and he watched the World Series. In any event, so I got it. When I'm at home, all I do is I talk about Torah. Somebody tries to get me involved in conversation about something else. What do I do when I'm walking down the street? When I'm walking down the street, my thumb is flying in all different directions. It's going this way, it's going that way. An ishtam is somebody who really means what he says. He says it and he means it. My favorite line of davening, if we're on the topic of ishtam, of meaning what you say, is when we say Brich Shmei, which is an Aramaic prayer. And we say, or Yikum Purkan, we say, Zara Chaya V'Kayama. We say, God, give me children. Zara Dilo Yivsof V'Dilo Yivtom V'Pizgomei Oraisa. I always say they put that prayer in Aramaic so nobody would know what it means, so everybody would say it. I want children who never stop learning. That's what you're asking God for. You ask God, I always want the, you know, when a guy has problems, his parents won't let him come back, shun a bed. I'm like, Dad, this is what you're daven for every Shabbos morning. Zara Dilo Yivso. I want kids that never stop learning. Now, I personally, I can't say I mean everything I say. I'm not in that Majoreg. I'm not in Ishtam. But that's what I want. I bribe my kids. You learn. I'm like I use it in a Tivaya way. You know what I mean? You can't get them to stay up all night. What a Musa Shmuz won't do, 400 Shek to Mariah will do. You know what I mean? So you bribe them. There's no other way to go about it. In this generation, you got to bribe them. There are enough toys. There's enough to do with money. See, I want Zara Dilo. I wish my kids would just learn nonstop. They would grow up right now, they have to play, they're still kids. But as they get older, I wish they would just want to learn. That's all they would do day and night. Does everybody really want that? And you go through your davening, and you say, do I mean that? So an ishtam is somebody who really means everything he says. When somebody says thank you, what is thank you? thank you. You really have to mean that. I really genuinely feel gratitude towards you. Or is it perfunctory? Yeah, thank you. You know, that's what you're supposed to say. So that's an ishtar. Now, what's interesting about Yaakov is that after he learns for 63 years, he's 63 years old, and from day one, from the get-go, he's learning lots of Torah. Learning with his grandfather, he's learning Shem Ve'ever. He's a serious learner. Yoshev Olam, he sits in the tents. Now he has to run away from Esav. What did Chazal say that he did?
14 years.
14 years of?
No sleep.
It says, Vayishkav, he lay down in that place, because for 14 years he didn't lie down. For 14 years, he just learned. He learned, and he learned, and he learned. If he dozed a little bit, but to lie down, and to set up his pillows and his bed, that Yaakov Avinu didn't do. They say about the Satmar Rav, he slept for 40 years. He slept on the wooden bench in the Beis Medrash. Like, why waste your time going home? Like, you're really, really tired. You're zonked. So you lie down, and then when you get up, you just continue where you started. So that's a person who is tava upan. He wanted to learn. So after all this learning, and Yaakov is 63 years old, he spends 14 years learning nonstop. That's Yaakov. Why? Because as we said, he was always looking for shleimus. He was, when he had his dream, it was Sula Mutzavarza, the ladder was in the ground, and the head reached to the heavens. And that was Yaakov Avinu. So that's the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Esav is a sui, Yaakov is not. What's a human being? The Gemara in Baba Kama, I'm assuming that there are some people in this room learning Baba Kama, safe assumption. It says in the Gemara that a shor ben yomo kari shor. That an ox, a one-day-old ox, is an ox. If you see a one-day-old ox and a three-year-old ox, it's going to be the same ox. You're not going to say, Max the ox. You've become so much more intelligent over time. You've read so many books since the last time I met you. An ox is an ox is an ox. What's a human being? A human being, a day-old baby, is nothing. Can't walk, can't talk, doesn't understand what's going on. What happens? No teeth. Thank you. What happens? The child develops. You become greater and greater and more mature, and your understanding grows, your body grows, your seichel grows. Why? Because God, the Alter Mikal, one of the great Mussar teachers, said God wanted a child to be born completely helpless, not knowing how to take care of himself, so he would realize how dependent he is, how small he is, so that he would constantly want to learn. And it's amazing, amazing how much, you know, there's a language that I've been studying now for 8 or 9 years. For 8 or 9 years now, I've been trying to pick up Yiddish. And I only understand that, I don't even speak it. A child, in the first year or two of his life, picks up an entire language fluently. Here, you see a little 2-3-year-old walking around, and he can speak a language. Children have a tremendous capacity to learn. And they're so curious. They want to find out more about, they want to know why the sky is blue, and why the clouds are white, and why plants are like this, and why ants are like that, and why the food is this. And they ask a million questions, because they never want to stop learning. What happens when a person gets older? He gets older. You know, you ever see like somebody sitting in an airport waiting for an airplane, like reading a biology textbook? And said, why are you reading that? Oh, I just want to find out more about the amazing world we live in. Right? They're reading enough. People, you stop learning after a while. A movie. What does a movie teach you? It doesn't teach you anything. It's just entertainment. The people in Hollywood admit that it's entertainment. But people like to be entertained. But people don't like to learn. Generally. In this world, you finish your education, and you're finished. That's the usual way. So what the Torah is trying to teach us here with Yaakov Avinu, and what God is trying to teach us by creating us as children, is that we're always supposed to be like that. The Pasuk says, Ki nar Yisrael bo'aveyu. Jewish people are young, and God loves them. Meaning, God loves us because we're always like na'arim. We're always young. Meaning, we're always eager to learn more. So the goal really of this year, I don't know what you were told or what you thought before you came, but I'll tell you what I think the goal is. And if you don't like it, you can always go and complain, and then I won't be here next week. The goal is that a person should realize that now he begins a lifelong path of beginning, of growing, of learning. It starts here, and it never ends. And when you're on that path, it's extremely enjoyable. Every day you did another daf, you did another perek of Navi, you did another Dvar Halacha, the Mishnah Brura, and you feel good. You got closer to God. Your life is more meaningful. You get more Olam Haba. You're fulfilling your purpose on earth. And then what do you do the next day? You say, I'm not done. You do more. And then you do more. And then you're never done. And that's what a Jew is. A Jew is Yaakov. He's at the Yaakov. He's at the bottom. On Esav, that's the way a lot of people are. They want to be Esavs. They say, I like to put on my tefillin. I'm going to keep kosher. I'm going to marry a Jewish. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? I'm going to marry a Jewish girl. What's the problem? You know what the problem is? The problem is that people don't want to be great. And that's the difference. The difference between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov wanted to be great, and Esav didn't. Esav is busy with other things. It says, Vayivez is a bechora. What is a bechora? Bechora means that you have great spiritual responsibilities. What does Esav need great spiritual responsibilities? It says that he came from the field and he was tired. His whole essence, what's tired? Tired is, I recently heard a good story, that in a shul, the rabbi got up to speak, and some people, you know, they have these pews, you know, and you have a place where you can put your sitter and your chumash. So a few of the people in the shul actually had a pillow in front of them. And they took the pillow out, and they went to sleep, so they have a nice comfy snooze during the rabbi's drasha. So that's what it means. The other way, someone said, the rabbi starts to talk, you immediately get very tired, and you start dozing. That's Esav. And Yaakov is something, you can learn a little bit of Torah, you can hear a little bit of Musar, you can learn a Dvar HaLach. I want to learn more! There's so much, there's endless amounts of things to learn. There's endless amounts of Svarim, there are endless amounts of Shiur, there are endless amounts of Rabbanim. There's so much Torah, it doesn't end! You can do a Tosfos, and you can do it again, and again, and again, and you'll still find your 150th time, you'll find more meaning in the Tosfos. I never met a person, ask him Mamitzal, he's been through Shas 100 times. Ask him if it ever bores him. If it ever, no, I already know it all. I've covered it all. He hasn't even started. There was once a Rav, he told his Talmidim, this year, we're going to learn Rav Mariel Diskin. We're going to learn the entire year, Meseches, if I'm not mistaken, it was Baba Kama, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. It was either Baba Kama or Baba Mitzvah. One, the first Amud, they learned 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon, every day including Sundays, including Thursday afternoons. There was nothing to do back there in Brisk on Thursday afternoons. Yeah. And then, Erev Yom Kippur, and after a whole year, they learned on one Amud, and he says, you know, guys, we can keep going, but there's a lot of Torah to learn, so we have to go on. That's what Torah is. Torah doesn't end. And that's why we have to take upon ourselves, if we want to be happy, if we want to be fulfilled, if we want to fulfill our purpose in this world, to desire to continuously grow like Yaakov Avinu, and not the opposite, and in that schus, we will all be in Ritz Hashem filled with Simcha. 3